This seance was recorded on the 18th of October, 1966.
Very.
And how are you, Auntie?
Very well, thank you, Mickey.
I always look forward to your visits.
You are.
How are you getting on?
Very well, thank you.
Have you had a holiday?
Let me see. Well, a combined holiday with helping, you know.
Yes. You're always sort of running around doing things for other people. I must say, you're very good like that.
Am I? Well, that's
You've been to look after your sister's place?
Yes.
She's been on holiday.
Yes, she's having a holiday.
Did she ever think of coming to look after your place while you go?
Oh, there wouldn't be anything to look after, Mickey.
No?
No, there wouldn't.
Has she got a big house then?
Yes, it is rather large.
She must be comfortably off then.
Well, no, she helps so many people, you know.
I don't think I've ever seen your sister. Is she not interested in this subject?
Just the tiniest bit, perhaps.
Have you ever discussed it with her?
No, not very much.
Why?
Well, I think these things come gradually, don't you, Mickey?
Is she religious?
She's very good. I don't know, I think you'd call her religious.
Well, I'd rather have a good person than a religious one any time. I often find the religious ones aren't very good anyway.
That's quite true, Mickey. Too true. It's practicing these things that matters, isn't it?
It's what you are inside that matters, not what your religion you belong to or brand of religion you are, is it?
No, that's quite true, Mickey.
You're a case you are, you know. You impress me.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm glad somebody's interested in me.
You got lots of friends, ain't you?
Let's see. I have a few very good friends.
You don't seem very sure. You had to stop and think.
Yes.
That means you ain't got many.
Well, I don't seem to rely on other...
No, I don't mean relying on them, but...
Yes, I have.
I suppose what you would honestly say, you got more acquaintances than friends, eh?
Yes, I think perhaps that's more.
How are you getting on in that house of yours? Is that mad woman gone?
Oh, I'm not there now, Mickey dear. Oh, I've moved from there.
You've moved?
I'm in a bedsitter, you know, now in Eastbourne.
Bedsitter?
Yes, all
just
in one room.
No cooking facilities?
Oh, yes, rather.
How can you have that in one room?
Oh, you can have a little baby belling in the corner.
Gosh. Is that so?
Yes. Well, accommodation is very scarce today.
You're not washing up water in there, then?
Oh, yes, I've got all those facilities.
Oh, oblige me.
You haven't looked me up yet, then, Mickey.
No, I haven't been for some while, actually. Do you really like living in one room?
Well, it's a case of having to at the moment.
You're not hard up, are you?
Oh, I keep going, Mickey.
Oh, cripes, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh, dear.
You should have a nice flat, modern flat, you know, with all the conveniences.
Yes, but I thought these material things didn't matter.
Oh, I think they matter to a certain extent. I think how one lives and conditions under which one live are very important.
Yes.
I mean, I think if you've got peace of mind and quietude and...
Yes, well, I've got both of those.
Have you?
So
in one room?
Yes.
Of course, it means you ain't got so much housework.
No, but you do get in an awful muddle sometimes.
Yes, but you're not a muddler, are you?
No, I don't think I am, Mickey.
I suppose in the old days you used to have masses of servants and all that.
Oh, never.
I should have thought with your old husband being so well off like in a posh job, you'd have had a posh place.
Yeah. Well, we were all right, Mickey.
Did he leave you out up then?
Mickey, no. No.
Well, I shouldn't ask personal questions, should I? I'm sorry, I mean well.
Well, he's given me more than worldly wealth, hasn't he? He's given me this knowledge, and that is...
Hello.
Hello, darling.
What's going on?
Aha. Mickey pulling my leg over my bedsitter.
Oh. But that's sufficient, isn't it?
Yes, just for the present,
I mean,
yes.
You don't really need much more. I suppose one other room and a little kitchenette and bathroom would be very nice.
Oh, it would be, but still, those are in the future.
But over here, you won't need a kitchen over here, neither would you need a bathroom.
Not a bathroom?
No, of course not.
I suppose you dip in the sea, do you?
That's very difficult to explain, but if one could imagine living in an environment where the whole atmosphere and the very condition of living was so perfect that never felt dirty, you never got dirty. The whole atmosphere was so pure and fresh and clean that it was unnecessary. And then, of course, one's whole mental state is such here that things that really matter are the things that make life, of course, worth living. I mean, for instance, you don't have the sort of conditions which necessitate in many of the things which one would consider important or necessary or vital on earth. Everything here is a state of mind. And after all said and done, if you think right, then you are right. Over here, you draw to yourself, you attract to yourself all sorts of things which, in their very nature, by their very nature, make life such a beautiful thing. There again, of course, as I've often said, it's extremely difficult to explain or describe accurately so much that one wants to give, you know, but this is a, as far as I can understand the meaning or term of perfection, to me anyway, condition of life under which I exist, the conditions under which I exist are perfect.
Yes.
I mean, for instance, you don't feel the need to have a bath or a shower. Of course you can if you wish. I mean, you can bathe, you can enter into form of sports, I suppose. If these things are a matter of opinion, these things are a matter of whether you feel they're necessary. So much, of course, there again depends on the individual. A person who feels the need for certain things will, for a time over here, indulge in those things, and they will be there for that person to enjoy. But there are many, many things which one would consider vital or important. Possibly to many people still on your side would think them necessary over here, but it's only temporary, it's only just such time as you adjust yourself and you begin to think differently, you begin to see differently, and you begin to realize that certain things are no longer essential,
yes,
necessary. Everything is a matter of the individual, and of course the majority of individuals gathering together as they do under certain conditions, inhabiting certain conditions of life here, will find themselves necessary together and enjoy those things. But gradually you evolve to a point where many of the things which once seemed important are no longer necessary or important.
Yes, like eating, for instance. Apparently you draw your nourishment from the air, do you?
Well, yes, that's true. But there again, you see, this is an extremely difficult thing to explain. Why do you think it's necessary, happen like this? Well, one thinks it's necessary to eat or to drink, or you have the desire for certain kinds of foods or drink. Those things will exist for you. But of course, the vast majority of people soon begin to realize that these things are no longer necessary, because the body which one inhabits is by its very nature so different. In other words, I know this sounds odd, but I can even contradictory, I can't hear it. The body is as you think, nothing more, nothing less. If you think this is essential, then your body will be, as it were, so. I mean, in other words, if you feel it's necessary to eat, you will eat. If you think it's necessary to have certain types of foods, you will have those foods. They will be there, they will be made possible. I mean, there's all kinds of fruits here, for instance, all sorts of vegetation, or many other things that you consider part of what life on your side that are necessary do exist here. But as you advance through certain, through varying stages, so those things gradually will cease to be important to you, and they will cease to exist for you.
Yes, and yet they are very real things.
Oh yes, but then again, they are only real under certain conditions. You must try and see things in this way. It's the only comparison way I can explain it. That you are living in a world which is a thought world, which is a world created fundamentally by thought forces, even nature itself, and many of the things which nature provides. Indeed, one could go back, if one were able, in time itself, to the creation. I'm not going to explain the creation because I find that would be quite impossible, but everything created, everything that is a state of consciousness, it's a state of realization, It's solidified with man. Man has grown with the world, and the world has grown with man. In other words, surely the whole thing is a state of mind. Take away the state of mind, man will cease to exist. It's only the consciousness of an awareness of things that makes it so that man is. And the whole point is that you are living in a certain vibratory condition, or rate, if you like, that you are solidified, or at least that part of you, the physical aspect of self, is a solidified form in harmony with the very conditions under which you exist, the world. But it's only fundamentally, it is still a mental condition, a mental state, and it's only one of probably millions of such conditions or states. And as you rise, as it were, in mental stature, mental understanding, mental appreciation, in other words, as you progress with a wider vision, a wider realization of things, so the limitations of each world which you may exist recedes and is less important. And so it is also that you go ahead and your eyes are open to newer worlds, newer conditions, newer sets of vibrations or atmosphere and conditions. In other words, you are what you are because of your consciousness of the things that man, through countless ages, has brought into being. The world in which you live today is obviously very, very different to what it was millions of years ago. For instance, you have seas now where once there was dry land. For instance, you have dry land now where once there was seas. You have vast vast areas which now bring forth vegetation which once had no form of vegetation or life at all. In fact, you have an entirely different world today to what was probably thousands and millions of years ago. Man doesn't really know how he came into being. There's no doubt that man gradually changed through generations of time from something which was totally unlike man today.
Yes, but the spirit was always there, I suppose. The essence.
Yes, the spirit was there because it's after all said and done, it's only the spirit that is life. Life and the spirit are one inasmuch that the fundamental part of man, which is spirit, is the only part of him which really continues to exist, but it exists under different conditions through generations upon generation of time, under different circumstances. The earth world, of course, we know, is old, but in time itself it's young.
Is it? Yes. Many people think we're coming to the end of an age now. I heard that stated
by some.
Well,
man is always coming towards the end of an age and starting a new one. In a sense, it's true enough. But I mean, I'm not one of those people who think that the world, the earth world, is going to come to an end.
No, not that quite. But this sort of order must change.
Well, I would say the lack of the disorder is going to change.
Yes, yes, that's it. Yes.
Some form of order.
Yes.
Of course, you know
very good.
You know what is going to happen.
No.
And I'm sure I'm right in this, that beings from other worlds or other planets, very soon, whether it will be in your lifetime, I can't say, but it isn't, I don't feel so far distant, are going to make themselves known. In other words, they're going to come into orbit or come into being in such a form and in such a way to Earth, that when man realizes the full realization and intensity of understanding of the living reality of peoples on other planets making contact with Earth, then I think the Earth is going to change, but not until.
No. Well, that's tremendously interesting.
The extraordinary thing is that there are these attempts being made by man to inhabit or to enter into orbit and enter into other planets, and to some extent I think he must and eventually will succeed, that what he doesn't know is that peoples from other spheres or other planets, much more advanced than man, far, far more advanced than man, will soon be making themselves known to mankind on Earth, and this I think is going to be the salvation of the Earth.
Of course it would be. We do hear about flying saucers a lot now, and I believe that they're really going to investigate.
Well, because flying saucers are, I don't know, I don't profess to be able to explain it fully, but I don't understand the scientific aspect, but flying saucers are reality. And these beings from other planets, not so far, in some senses, removed from man. In other words, they'll be recognizable as human beings, but of a much higher stature, much higher nature, much higher experience, and more highly evolved and developed. These beings will eventually make themselves known. These are only, as it were, these flying saucers, that is, early attempts at contact.
I see, yes.
And of course, all this business of communication with the so-called dead, such as you're coming to talk to me, that will become an accepted fact. And many of the religions, if not all the religions, as you know religion today, will be non-existent.
Really?
I think that in not so far distant future, the proof and the identity, the evidence of identity, that will come through scientific means, in a highly scientific way in regard to communication, and not only between our world and yours, but also other worlds of other beings. You see, why should people think that the Earth is the only world and the peoples of the Earth are the only people? I mean, this is, I would have thought in such a modern age as yours, would already have been destroyed, this fallacy.
Well, I think many of us do believe that now, dear. In the past, we used to think we were the only pebbles on the beach, didn't
yes,
we?
Yes, well, I'm afraid that man has got some shocks coming.
Yes.
And they're going to be very interesting and illuminating.
Yes.
And I'm sure that the world is going to be brought to the realization that for centuries upon centuries, man has been living in a, I'd say a fool's paradise, but certainly been living in a very narrow, limited sense, without realization of all the time other peoples and other worlds have also been living and progressing and have evolved at a greater rate of evolution. And there's going to be new methods applied scientifically which will prove this. And this is, I think, the most important thing. I mean, I don't think man realizes that, in fact, a lot of things are already being kept quiet. And I'm certain that in Russia, not so much anywhere else, but certainly in Russia, certain scientists there are already tapping these sources, and they know far more than at the moment they're allowed to say.
Yes.
But I think that the scientific evidence of life on other planets is going to be revealed, perhaps not so very long ahead, perhaps within the next 5 to 10 years there'll be evidence of it.
Yes. Well, that's tremendously interesting, darling, and your voice is marvellous today.
Is it? Well, I have no clue, of course. I mean, quite frankly, things are very variable in communication, and one has to be grateful for every opportunity, but the conditions must vary. It's very difficult sometimes for me to know exactly how well I do come over, you see.
Oh, yes. Don't you think so, Mr. Flynn?
I think marvellous. Voice is lovely.
Yes, the voice is lovely, just as I remember it on Earth. Wonderful.
I don't know when my voice ever sounds really like it used to.
Oh, it does, yes.
It's really difficult. Have you ever played any of these tapes as you go on to people who remember me, if they can recognize my voice?
No, I don't think I have. I have played them to many people, but they're not people who remember you sufficiently well, I think. Are you going to continue your incarnations next time,
oh,
dear?
I'm sorry, I should, of course.
Oh, no, this has been very interesting.
I'm happy to talk about many subjects and incarnations.
Well, we got as far as the early Renaissance when you were a monk, you know.
Yes, I know that.
In Padua.
But I know that it is important and interesting to discuss past events on Earth, and in a way, of course, not only is it interesting, but and informative, but it can be a great help. But I know I must talk about these things. I don't want you to think I'm not anxious, you say, but there are so many other things, you know. That
yes, well, just
but
when you
way,
feel
I'll
like it.
I'll vary it
yes.
from time to time and
yes.
talk about whatever I feel is important.
Yes.
I think that's the best way. And then again, I would also mention the fact that there are times when it's more conducive by certain conditions, I can't explain it there, to talk about some things than others.
Naturally.
It's as though sometimes when I come, when it's as if the channel is so clear, and my, I'd say my memory, because that's not exactly true to refer to my memory as such, but as if the channel is clear for certain things to discuss than others.
Yes, naturally.
Sometimes it's easier to go back, and sometimes it's easier to go forward. This may sound odd, but there again, I don't know, there again, time is an illusion. People assume that what has been is there, I mean, has happened, and the present is happening, and the future is not yet. But actually, of course, the future is there. And it's already in embryo, it's already beginning to move, it's already taken shape. One day I'll explain that, perhaps, if I can.
Yes, it sounds very interesting.
Because what has already happened, and what is at this moment happening, is already forming, as it were, what is to happen in the near future. If only people could realize that. Because,
yes.
I mean, you see this, at least we see it, in varying ways, and it can be illustrated in so many different ways. Man's thoughts and actions of yesterday and today are forming the things that will happen tomorrow,
yes,
or soon after. That's,
yes,
where the danger lies, particularly among politicians and states of mind of people in high places. These people's thoughts and actions are already moulding the tragedies of tomorrow. That's why it's so important when one thinks and one does things, that whatever one thinks and does is for good.
Yes.
When there are bad thoughts and bad actions that follow them, then worse things follow in consequence. It's a natural sequence of events. It can't be avoided.
Yes.
Man creates. When man realizes that he himself is responsible, no one else is responsible but man himself for all that happens in your world, good, bad, or indifferent. Times people say, oh, why does God permit this? Why does God permit that? And if there is a God, why doesn't he stop this? But then people have no conception, no realization that there is no one to blame but themselves.
Yes.
Man creates for himself all the ill that happens in his life and lives collectively. Man creates ill health, man creates sickness, man creates wars, intolerance breeds, all the dreaded things that happen to man. Until man learns to think differently and act in consequence differently, he will be beset by all manner of ills, and doubt about that. Anyway, next time I must try and talk about other things of importance, but I'm so glad you're back again.
Oh, yes.
Because now we can resume our talks.
Yes, Leslie has given me four dates.
God bless. Bye-bye,
thank you.
Dear.
Goodbye,
bye-bye,
darling. Thank you so much. It was
very
wonderful.
Good.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Mickey. He's rather a marvel, isn't he?
He's very good today, isn't he?
Yes. Remarkable.
Mm.
He came through so well. I
yes,
could almost imagine him walking around this room. Extraordinary.